I think with my story, you can say it's jack of all trades.
Yeah.
But then I have changed the narrative. It always goes jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah.
But in my story, jack of all trades, but master of fashion.
Welcome everybody to another exciting episode of the Sincerely Accra podcast. Now look, today we're filming in a very special location, okay? We're filming inside Jerry's at the Kenteng store at Treehouse. Oh my goodness. But I'm here and I'm very excited because I have an icon, a mogu. I'm so excited to be sitting down with none other than Nana Ikia Adu. Now I know when you hear the name, you're thinking fashion, you're thinking gag-worthy looks. Some people might say controversy, but we're going to break it all down today because, I mean, I have her in my seat. And so, welcome, Nana.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for gracing our show. You're looking so amazing.
I try.
You know, you remind me of this movie, Wesley Snipes in, what's the name of that film?
Oh.
Blade.
Yes.
You look like a super, like you can be a superhero, but like the bad one.
The bad one, right? Yeah. I think I like that.
No, I love it. It's very, like very Versace coded. You know, okay. The Medusa head.
It's actually a scapulary set.
Oh, actually.
Yes.
You know what? Walk us through the look. What are you giving today?
Well, I just try to, because I'm coming on a podcast and I want to actually relate to your audience, which being
Gen Z.
So I try to just jam it up, make it a bit fun. So yeah, that's what I could get in my closet.
I can see it. I can definitely see it scapularily. Nana, I found out that when you came to Ghana, you were 16 years old and they put you in class 3 because English was not your first language. Is that true?
I swear, Jaden, you did me bad. You did me bad for not telling me where I was coming to. Yes.
Tell me about it. That's so interesting.
Yes.
So at 16, you were definitely taller than everybody.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, yes. This memory. So that was Engelbert. When I just relocated to Ghana and I was 16, I couldn't speak English. So I had to be in class 3. So actually, school was really tough for me.
Mm.
Not because I didn't like it, but then because I was struggling with English language.
Yeah.
I mean, the barriers where I was coming from. In Germany, I spoke nothing but German and Tree at home.
Oh, okay.
And so my first language was German, actually. Mm. And then second was Tree, but that was...
Yeah.
So it was very difficult for me. I was the tallest in the class. And I remember I had the longest hair. These kids, I'll call them kids, they would always be pulling
your
my hair.
Because...
I actually have people from like class 6 who come to our class and they'll be peeping around just to see
who's that girl?
Who is this mother in class 3? It was very difficult. So I actually changed a lot of schools and then I had to talk to my mother.
Mm.
Then I homeschooled, then I wrote BEC.
Okay.
Then I actually went to senior secondary school. It was really tough for me.
Yeah. Do you remember any of your classmates from class 3? Did you have any relationship with them at all? Or you just...
From Engelbert, I think with maybe the ones I remember is Rosemary, then Priscilla Kutu, I think.
Was she in the same class or she was in the class 6?
She was in the same class, but then I think there's an A and there's a B.
B, okay.
So I think I was in B and she was in an A. She was such a gentle soul.
Mm.
And there was Michael Akutu, such a cool DB boy.
Really?
I kind of like him. He never liked me like that. Never.
I hope they see this and they reach out on social media.
There were siblings, actually. I think there was Michael, Priscilla. I think there were 3 of them in the school.
Triplets? Or they were just like
they were siblings.
I see.
Yes, coming from a very well brought up home. They were so put together.
Mm.
Yes. We call them the Akutu family.
The Akutu family.
Yes.
That's really nice.
Yes.
But you came from Berlin, right?
Yes,
what was life like in Berlin when you were growing up? Like, what were some of your favorite things to do as a child in Berlin?
For me, I came from a staunch Ghanaian home.
Mm.
So the things my friends got to do, I never experienced it. Mm. They had the chance to go to the movies, go go to the club, go to the parties, like after school, they'll go to the mall. No, for me, after school, I quickly have to run back because my mom just gave birth to my junior brother.
At that time.
So I had to babysit. And in between, I was working, I was swiping newspapers. So I was such a very focused young girl growing up. And I thank God for that upbringing. I mean, where I was brought up, Germany, alcohol, drugs is so exposed. So for you to be raised there, not to drink, not to smoke, definitely your parent did a great one on you. Yes.
Yeah, the very strict guardian upbringing.
Yes, it wasn't that strict, but then it was just a setup. On Sundays, I go to church, I sing at church, and it's me and my family and other parents look up to me. They use me as a reference.
Example.
Exactly. Yes. So for me, I think it did a very great service to me growing up. I didn't have to experience any teenage pregnancy. I didn't even have to even think of having a boyfriend at the time. I didn't even have to think of having a crush until I came to Ghana.
Because
I had freedom. Because mommy wasn't there. Daddy wasn't there. It was just me and my grandma.
Your grandmother, yeah.
So imagine staying with your grandmother and having that freedom where nobody is checking on you, what you're wearing, what you're eating, what time you're sleeping. Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Were you in the choir? You said you used to sing in church. Were you in the choir?
Yes.
What part?
Yes. I've forgotten, but I think it would definitely be treble.
Oh, okay. Yes. I was a tenor singer in the choir.
Oh, okay.
So I was trying to see if you were a tenor.
No, I wasn't. I think I was a deeper one. So yes.
Tell me about your girl group that you formed, TLC. Was that in Berlin or Ghana?
That was in Ghana, in school, in senior secondary school.
Really? Was it like a dancing?
You. So you see, I think with my story, you can say it's jack of all trades.
Yeah.
But then I have changed the narrative. It always goes jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah.
But in my story, jack of all trades, but master of fashion.
Okay.
I've changed the narrative when it comes to me. Growing up, I became entertainment prophet when I was in the senior secondary school. So yes, we had a TLC group.
Yeah. How many were you?
We're three, of course. TLC.
Was it after the TLC music group?
Of course, the inspiration.
So which one were you? Were you crazy, sexy, or cool?
I was cool.
You were cool?
I was cool.
Okay,
I was the tomboyish.
In the group. Oh, okay.
I was the leader. I was the tomboyish in the group. I had to lead. I had to decide when we sing, when we perform, who leads. So, yes. Oh, my God.
What's one of your favorite performances that you did as TLC?
I think it was when Eugene actually came to our school and there was a Coca-Cola competition.
Eugene?
Yes, that's in Kongonsa.
Okay.
Yes, he actually organized a fanfare in our school, which I won. So,
I've been winning things.
Yes. And there was the one... I think I performed at Accra Academy.
Okay.
So it was a TLC. They wanted us to come back on stage and we didn't have any dance because we only prepared for just one solo. So I had to go in with Cisco. So I just put a durag on my head. I'll definitely get you back then.
The bandana was such a big deal.
I had to put a durag on my head and then put a bandana
hanging in there
and then dropping some Cisco song. Yes.
So that Unleash the Dragon.
Unleash the dragon. I remember I had to put powder in my hair at that time. Yes.
Oh, yeah, because Cisco had the...
To make it look like it was dyed. Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, then you were really committed.
Yes, I was.
So you said you lived with your grandmother.
Yes.
Did you pick up any fashion skills or fashion things from your grandmother? Because let me tell you, one thing I know about the old women of, like, Ghana back then, normally a very Yoruba Sem, you know, even the way they dress, they wear their wrappers and stuff. Did you learn anything about fashion from your grandmother?
For me, from what I hear, to be honest, I think for my grandma, it was just me being grounded, me being a focus, and me being a well put together young girl. With my fashion sense, it definitely came from my father. When I met my father in the US, I just knew. The first time I saw my father in the US, I knew it. I just knew it.
What was he wearing?
He was, see, I think we met at Manhattan, and then we were supposed to meet at a train station, and he was the only black person all suited up.
Oh.
And that is so unreal because everybody's going to work. So when I saw him, I thought I've hit a jackpot because my father is a
big
he's wearing suit. He's wearing
suit. Did he have a briefcase?
With a briefcase. He's well put together. Only for me to know that we're going to sit in the train. Oh, wow.
Oh, you wanted to say the limo?
No, I was thinking, I mean, meeting your father
yeah.
all suited up in the U.S. Manhattan. What were you thinking? You're thinking like, I mean, I'm going to see one of the biggest, penthouse. But then we went in the train.
Mm.
And when I entered into his apartment and how it was just a studio apartment, but the way it was put together, then I knew it was definitely from my father and my mother.
The interior decor was like really nice. And,
It's from my father.
Lovely.
It's from my father. And if he's watching, he definitely knows it's from my father. Mm. Definitely.
Oh, so your parents didn't live together?
They didn't live together, to be honest. Okay. I was adopted by my stepfather.
Oh, okay.
When I was, I think when I was as young as 2 years old, that was when they adopted me. And then I lived all my life in Germany. So I grew up knowing my stepfather as my father. Mm. He was such a very... He was a pastor, so you can imagine his role in my life.
I see.
So,
was he Ghanaian too?
Yeah, he was a Ghanaian.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's called Mr. William T. Kudaka.
Oh, okay. Yes. A blessed memory. So before you came to Berlin, what was your knowledge of Ghana? Before you left Berlin to come to Ghana, what was your knowledge of Ghana? What did they used to tell you about Ghana?
I think I didn't have anything.
Oh, okay.
I did, because when I was leaving, I was barely a toddler, so I didn't have anything. But then I just couldn't wait to experience the pampering because my mom would always tell me how I wasn't going to work if I go to Ghana. My grandma would do everything. So I was so excited to actually experience that. Yes. Yeah.
You left university practice, SHS, because of your hair.
Yes.
What was the issue? Am I taking you back?
So what was that question again?
So Nalika left university practice SHS because they wanted her to cut her hair or something.
Because I didn't understand. I had actually long hair. When I relocated, like the moment you see me, you think I'm a Naomi Campbell. That's how they used to call me.
Because
I was very skinny
and tall
and dark, and I had a very long natural hair, and I didn't understand why I had to cut my hair.
So what do you think about the hair politics? So, you know, about like a year ago or two, there was this whole conversation about high school girls having to cut their hair because it's a distraction.
When you go to China, when you go to Germany, when you go to America, most of the doctors we have, most of the nurses we have, they have their hair. I don't think people's personality should actually define their intelligence or what they look. Because when you go to Germany, most of the good doctors, we call them punks. They have tattoos all over. They have piercing all over. And they're the best surgeons in Germany. But in Ghana, they would have looked at you. In Africa, they would have judged you just the way
in a different
you
way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think we will get there.
You think so?
Oh, yes.
Hey.
I think we will get
there. We can't even let people wear their hair in high school.
I think we'll get there because we have private schools where it's actually optional. We have private schools in Ghana where they do wear their hair and they are damn intelligent.
Yeah.
These that we call them DBs, they are so intelligent. They are so confident. When you put these DBs together and you put some of the local or let's say government school kids together, you can see how refined they are. Not because of the privilege they have, but the confidence that has been instilled in them, the way they articulate, they are not afraid. And for me, that is what every parent needs to give to their child.
Confidence, yeah.
And you can tell that between ourselves and the Nigerians.
Mm.
They have nothing. All they have is their confidence and how they are thriving in everything they do. They can't even sing, but when they come on stage, their confidence, their aura, the stage.
They can't even sing.
They might not be the best of the best, but the confidence.
The way they carry it.
Yes. You understand? A typical Ghanaian who has practiced over a year or two will still go onto the stage and
A little bit of timidity. Yeah. Tell me about team personality. I heard you witnessed Lydia Force in there and Stacey Amwating. So even before you tell me about team personality, where do you think your interest in all of these things came from?
Entertainment. Because with team personality, actually, they picked me. My school picked me to represent them.
Okay.
And with that one, this is my honest opinion. Team personality is really very academic kind of pageant. It's not even about beauty. It's not even about how tall. Because they pick you from schools. The winner was Martha. She was from Gehe. And we had to write top exams. I swear
to you. You write an exam?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That girl is brainy.
I see.
Yo, that girl is brainy. I mean, after our personality test, I knew
that she was going to win.
I knew I was out of the competition. I met Stacey there. I met Lydia there.
Yeah.
And Lydia hasn't changed. The way you see Lydia.
That's how she was back then.
She was the bubbliest amongst all of us.
Yeah.
She's the one who walk up to you. And guess what? Even though she's even struggling or trying to even find herself, she'll be the one to cheer you on. Yeah, so everything I see Lydia doing on social media, I mean, advocating for people, this is definitely who she is. And it's so beautiful about her. Yes, Lydia is such a beautiful soul. And Stacey.
Yeah.
Stacey was put together. She was demure.
A rubber.
and you can tell.
Yeah.
The way we've all grown.
Yeah.
Stacey will be very calm where everybody is rushing to go for practice. Stacey would take her time and she would want to do things according to her.
You even see when she used to host music, the way she does it. Yeah. And you know the funny thing? I met Lydia. So Lydia probably doesn't remember this, but I went to AIS. She was the drama club president. And so when I became the drama club president. I started the drama festival, and I invited her to come, and she came back,
and she
came to talk to us. Listen, and everything. She was so nice.
Lydia is one of the people in the industry where I think if there's any position, she definitely deserves it. Not because I'm saying, like, we don't talk. It's been a very long time I've seen her. Her character, her personality is amazing. She'll advocate for you. You don't need to be her friend
for her to speak up for you,
or for her to feel what you're going through. And I think these are the kind of people we need in the industry to actually push the agenda, to actually fight for the cause that we need, the growth that we need. Yes.
Yeah.
Lydia is such a...
Yeah, shout out Lydia Force.
Yes.
Now I want to talk about Miss Malaika, because I remember watching Miss Malaika with my mother. And I remember you for three things. Your legs, your cheekbones, and your shoulders. You know those days they used to make you guys wear those halter tops? And I was like, who is this girl with the shoulders? And my mother was rooting for Thelma from the beginning to the end. But I just remember, like, you just had that stunning look. How did you enter Miss Malaika? What was that like?
Let me just say this. I think this is one of the best interview or podcast I've sat, and it feels like, oh my God, like, time is playing all over. And I love that.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing this research. I mean, thank you for letting me know how far I've come.
Yeah.
Thank you for actually going through this process with me. Yes. Yes, Miss Malaika was also another story. It was all the contestants were from Legon. And I think at the university, I've forgotten. Thelma was intelligent. There was Anita. There was Brigitta. There was Gwen.
Yes.
Were the
Gwen
best
Addo, right?
There was Gwen Addo.
Yes, hair center.
And Gwen, she was so gorgeous. That we all knew Gwen was the winner.
You know, all her sisters are like that. I went to school with her sister, Nadia.
We all knew Gwen was the winner. Some of us would just go like, do you know how many suitcases Gwen brought?
Oh, really?
And Gwen is such a mommy's girl. Like, almost every 3 days, they are bringing her suitcase. Gwen has forgotten something. Mommy, I need this. Mommy, I need that.
Oh, yeah, you were camped somewhere,
yes,
right?
Yes, we were camped.
Where were you camped?
I forgot, but somewhere in Chasako.
Okay.
We were camped. We were treated nice.
Hey, the budget was big.
No.
Yes, Miss Malaika.
Miss Malaika, our time. I think we were the first batch.
You were the first batch. No, yeah, I remember.
Yes. And for me, it was the experience getting to know these ladies. They're in the university. I was senior secondary school. They all had beautiful hair, beautiful weave. And I had no
hair. You had to cut your hair.
So I cut my hair because of school. Yeah. So I definitely knew I wasn't going to place, but I just wanted the opportunity and the exposure. So I learned whilst they were sleeping. I was reading, I was doing research, yeah. I was catwalking, and they didn't see it coming. And guess what? I placed.
Yes.
I placed second runner up.
Yeah. Yes. You know, somebody told me that a very famous person taught you how to do a little catwalk when you were starting.
Oh, yes.
Do you want to tell us who?
Of course, KKD.
Okay.
It's not just catwalk. This man mentored me.
Where did you meet him?
My first fashion show that was being organized by, I think it was a group of women, including her mama's mother.
Okay.
And KKD was contracted to groom us.
Groom you guys. Okay,
yes.
Okay.
So it was myself, Ruweda, that was her mama's elder sister, and her mama
herself.
Yes. And I was, at that time, I was the tallest. I thought I had edge over
everybody,
all of them.
With your cheekbones.
And guess what? KKD would tell me, yes, you have everything, but you think you know it all. He would sit me down and I wouldn't walk. I'll be the first to come. He would still tell me that I was 1 minute late. And he said, Nana, I'm teaching you something.
Yeah.
I'm teaching you time.
Yeah.
I'm teaching you time. There's time for everything. At that time, it didn't make sense. At that time, I thought he didn't like me. Mm. At that time, I thought because I wasn't that pretty, because you should see her mama's sister, Ruweda. At that time, you should see her mama. These are pretty black, beautiful girls. So I thought KKD
was picking on you.
Picking on me. But all the time, funny enough, I was the one who would get him his water. I was the one he would send. I was the one who asked me to come an hour late, like early.
Early, okay.
Early. And I was the one who would coach me, who would teach me, who would guide me, and he would tell me so many things, pros and cons in the modeling industry. Mm. How, when you go for casting, what to wear, the tank tops to wear, there's so many notes you're going to get.
Basically, it was taking you through the whole ENTM process. Next up model.
Listen.
Yeah.
What KK did for me, God. I didn't walk the show, not because I wasn't good, because he said he wanted me to learn a lesson. And I think I did.
Mm.
That is patience. That is perseverance. That is intentionality. That is hard work. That is understanding that every day will not be your day. So if I'm not shining today, it is okay.
You should understand.
Exactly.
Yes. Because 2 years later, you became Miss Ghana, Germany, right? 2005.
So you see,
I feel like you've answered the question. I was going to ask you that after you, for lack of a better word, lose Miss Malaika, what gives you the confidence to go again for something else and then, you know, you win? But I think you've answered the question.
So you see, you know?
So when you won, Miss Ghana, Germany, you got an 8 month modeling contract, with a German modeling agency.
Yes.
What was that 8 months like for you? What were you doing? Which companies were you working with? Do you remember?
So yes, it was Cocoa Butter, but then it was for the African back skin.
Mm.
And then there was another juice. I've forgotten his name, but it's called Castro. I forgot.
It's a German brand.
It's a German brand.
So I think your agency was Eddie Bauer.
Yes, Eddie Bauer. Yes, there was Eddie Bauer too. So I was working with these three brands and I had to work with a radio station at that time.
Oh, okay.
Because at that time I'd come from Ghana and I've lived here for over 2-3 years. So I can speak a little bit English.
At the time.
So I had a part-time job at a radio station to speak English. Mm. And it was a big deal. It was such a big deal.
Big deal for you, yeah.
Yeah, big deal for me. Big deal for my friends. Like in Germany, if you can speak English, switch to English? Yeah, it was a big deal at that time. Yes. Yeah, so I had a chance to work at the radio station, work with Eddie Bauer, and then
The Cocoa Butter.
Yes.
You know, one of the reasons why I actually mentioned that English was your second language is, you know, when we are growing up in Ghana and people cannot speak English, we laugh at them. You know, I think it's something that we really need to lose, because for me, when I started to travel, I realized that when somebody can speak 3-4 languages, the fact that they don't have the perfect English accent shouldn't be held against them. You know what I mean? Because I remember I went to Germany. So I had an uncle in Germany.
Okay.
He's there. In Cologne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he tried to teach me German. All I can remember is Schoenbilder. You know why? Because every time I'll give him my phone to take a picture of me, then you say, Schoenbilder. Yeah. So I just wanted to really let people understand that you're coming from a place where you speak, is it Dutch? Is that
German?
German.
Yes.
Yeah. You speak German.
Yeah.
English is not your first language, but you have learned it.
Yeah.
So.
But for me, I think it's just Ghanaian and certain people or certain mindset because I've had the chance to be in South Africa because of Big Brother audition for so many times.
You auditioned for Big Brother?
Yes. I think I am one of the most person that had
Big Brother Africa.
Big Brother Africa. Then I auditioned with Kweku T. They flew me and Kweku T to South Africa. They flew me and Mimi.
Mimi, that's where I met,
yes, to South Africa.
Look, every single one of Mimi's songs I love. One time I even did a TikTok about it and she came to comment.
Yes.
Leave me alone.
Yes.
But you know the thing about Big Brother though, somebody like Easy, with all her character and personality, she went to Big Brother and she was swallowed.
No, you don't get it.
Yeah.
So these are two things. When you're going to Big Brother and you've established yourself, now you have a name to protect. That's the thing. You understand? But if you're going to Big Brother as
nobody,
as Jaden, as nobody, you want to penetrate. You want to actually have an impact. You want people to know you for something. So this is two different things. It's just
sense.
Like me right now going to Big Brother.
Yeah.
People go like, she's so boring. Because
you are afraid to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
I have an audience.
Because I never really understood it back then. I was like, Easy, why you not give me this?
No.
You know?
And I kind of respect that because it didn't actually dent her. It didn't dent her brand. I mean, she stood on her ground. She wasn't as entertained as how Africans or Ghanaians wanted
expected her to be.
But then she stuck to her brand and Easy. She knew she was a star. She knew who she was. And it wasn't, the show wasn't going to push her around.
Yeah.
She wasn't going to put her, she wasn't going to just throw.
Jeopardize what she had just to try and cause some kind of rating.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so yeah. I was really proud of that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I want to talk about your foray into acting, you know, as you said, most of all, because as you guys have seen, we're telling the story.
Yes.
You got a call from a friend that said Van Vicker was casting for a movie and wanted a dark skinned girl.
Shanghai.
Yes. And it was between you and Yvonne Okoro.
Yes.
And Van wanted to meet you.
Yes.
And then he picked you. What movie was that?
Yes. Oh God, I remember then. I remember the name. I remember that it was one of, actually, it's my biggest movie. I remember the title and I'll let you, no, that wasn't Wannabe. Wannabe was produced by
you.
Yes. It wasn't Wannabe, but then I did this before Wannabe. So the cast was between myself and Yvonne Okoro. But Yvonne Okoro, I think, traveled or had exams. So at that time, Van needed a replacement, but then a dark skinned girl. So I was there and I had a phone call. Shanghai called me. And I have this role. I was like, but I've never acted. She was like, no, I'm going to coach you. Don't worry.
Did you always want to act or it just came?
It just happened.
Okay.
I think because of from Beauty Queen, Beauty Pageant. So I think I was in the space. I was in the entertainment space. So it just happened. Just a phone call. So it happened. Yeah. Then I met, what's the name? Van. Van and I spoke. I had some few auditions. And then he was like, okay, I'll give you a call back. Then finally the call came. But then before the call back, I think he took me through some coaching and and he was so impressed. He was so impressed because it was a lead character. So he was so impressed for me living up to whatever tax and whatever role
that he wanted you to get.
Yes,
you said in an interview that back then because you weren't in as many movies, how you wanted this to distinguish yourself from the other girls like Jackie and stuff was your fashion. And so you started taking your fashion very seriously.
Yes, back then. But you see, one thing about movie, it depends on the roles that you get. And at that time, I wasn't getting, it was either We'll say Waka Pass.
Waka Pass. I know.
Which I don't like to say. We'll say Waka Pass or a minor role. And it depends the character that you're playing. So I really wanted to take my fashion serious, but then I didn't really get the chance to the roles that I was playing until I thought about, let me start producing my movie. So I did that with Wannabe, where I had the chance to actually dress up and actually lived the way I wanted to express myself as far as acting is concerned, for people to see my full potential when it comes to acting. Not because I couldn't act, but because I've not been given
the opportunity.
That opportunity.
I mean, it's just strategy. Character. You picked another, you know.
Yes.
Was the movie In Coolie?
There was In Coolie too, which I had to shave my head.
You had to shave your hair for that.
I won so many awards with In Coolie. Okay. Traveled to South Africa with In Coolie. And Wannabe was a banger. Wannabe was a banger. Wannabe was a banger.
There's even a movie I saw. Is this a Showmax movie? Is it Kweku the Gambler?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
you're in it, in that as well.
Yes.
Come on. Okay, so I wanted to talk about the catalyst of the red carpet iconicness that we all know.
Okay.
So for those of you who are too young to know, way back when, okay, and I used to work at Viasat One in the production department, so I know this.
Okay.
Mr. Oscar Doe, Eurostar.
Yes.
He used to always have prizes for, you know, the red carpet, best dress. Sometimes it's $1,000, sometimes a Chanel bag, original, no dupe. And Danuka won, I think, 3 times, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's where it started.
Yes.
Back then, before the big names and the brands, what were you pulling together for your looks? Let's see, the very first time you won, do you remember what you wore?
The very first time I won, I think I had just come from a vacation. So I had a very nice dress that I bought from an American designer called Anthony Detouch.
Was it the yellow dress?
It was the black dress. Yes, it had an ostrich feather.
Okay.
Yes, so that was
ostrich feathers.
Yes. Yes. So that was the first dress by that designer. And to be honest, I just dressed up for a movie premiere. Mm. I didn't even know whether there was going to be a best dress or there wasn't going to be a best dress or there was going to be an award for who was going to look good or not. Mm-hmm. I just dressed for a movie award. Then I came home the next morning. It's all over the blogs. There's going to be a best dress. I was shortlisted and other ladies as well.
Yeah, Zanel Zhu, Seligali.
Yes, Zanel Zhu, Seli,
And now you just took it on. Would you walk me through, you know, winning those awards? What was the thinking that got you to the place where you said, okay, you know what? I'm going to take this fashion thing and make it something. What sparked that?
It was Oscar.
Oscar?
Yes, he really ignited that in me. Aside winning, Oscar, like anytime you're coming for the prize presentation, Oscar will sit me down and tell me that, Nana, I see something bigger. Because the things that you can do with what you have, you are special. I'm not giving you this prize not because you deserve it. I'm giving you this prize because I know the future is great. Oscar will tell me, Oscar was the one who urged me to go to Nigeria events. Oscar would be the one telling Nana, this platform you have outdone me. Now you need to go to Nigeria and test the market. Oscar believed in me. Aside winning best dress, I think he saw something I didn't see.
Yeah.
He ignited it and he really encouraged me. Aside winning the prize, I mean, the pep talk was so important. And coming from him, I respected it. And then I really worked on that.
And that's really why in 2017, you debuted on the AMVCA carpet with Biwa Modal.
Yes.
Personally, Nana, that's one of my favorite looks from you. I remember where I was when I saw the dress.
When you saw the gown.
And I said, what?
When you saw the gown.
Back then, I didn't even know who you were.
When you saw the gown, right?
You know, I didn't even make the connect that you were the same person on Miss Malaika.
Nobody.
I didn't make the connection.
Nobody.
I just, and all this, everyone's like, oh, from Ghana, from Ghana. And I was like, this is a nice dress.
And when Oscar called me, told me, Nana, did you see what I told you?
Yeah.
I was like, yes. Yeah. Nobody knew me. I bought my ticket. I mean, logistic. I paid for everything.
On your own.
I paid for everything. Oscar was like, Nana, just go. Just believe in yourself and you see. And I did. Yeah. I believe in myself. I believe in the process.
So many iconic books. Another one that I really like is the Gaurav Gupta.
Gaurav Gupta
And the reason why I like that dress is that you literally started that trend. Because even Cardi.
Do you know that Gaurav is not talking to me at the moment? We're supposed to work on, I mean, this year AMBCA. He's thinking if we're going to do another job again because this year was so crazy. So he called me back and we are still talking because after I wore that Spara dress, like almost every
designer. It went everywhere. It went everywhere.
Started making that dress.
Yeah.
And then it lost that finesse. Mm. So he was like, oh, Nana, you brought my design to Africa and now it's
everybody's
everywhere. So anytime I call him, it's like, Nana, no business with you.
Oh,
no business.
He's come on.
He'd rather tell me if I want to come to Paris Fashion Week, he can let me walk. He can let me come to India.
When are you going to Paris Fashion Week, Nana?
See, the thing is that in between all these things that was happening with me, I was a young mom. I'm giving birth. So all the times I've had the call for Paris Fashion Week and all that. But then I still had toddlers. Mm-hmm. So it was difficult for me. And above everything, listen, some women will say they'll put their career first, but I will put my daughters
first. Yeah.
And that's the reason why my growth has taken A little bit of a long time,
okay.
And I'm okay because it's my journey, it's my story. I don't want to grow and leave my children behind. You understand? I want them to know that I was there for them.
Yeah.
Whilst I was growing,
yeah,
in whatever I was doing, I didn't choose my career
over them.
Yeah,
yes. Taking them along.
So
because I used to see you have pictures of them on your Instagram where they're also getting into fashion.
Yes.
The first one is so tall now. I remember when you first started posting her.
Is 6'1", and she's only 12 years old.
6'1"?
6'1".
Crazy.
6'1", and she's only 12 years old.
Yeah, wow.
Yes.
I wanted to talk to you about, you know, the AMVCA looks and the controversies that always come up. What is the issue?
There's been only two.
Oh, well.
There's been only two. So when people say controversies,
because
there's been only two.
Only two? The chapel,
the 3D,
yes,
and the cathedral.
Okay, what did they really do blow it up to make it look like it's always an
there's
issue?
There's been only two, and the first one was I started working. You see, the things
I understood the first one that the girl that said you didn't credit her, I understood it when you said that. I think maybe it got lost in translation. People thought that you didn't pay her.
No, listen. People run with what they want to run with. Mm-hmm. Because with me, you can ask anybody who's worked with me, I do not do partnership. You see, from the dresses you mentioned, Leo Moda and everything, when I tag them, it's because I just want to tag them. I want people to see the originality of my dress, where I get them for, where I saw them for. I do not do partnership. I buy them. I buy them.
So you keep all of those?
Yes. They are all mine.
Are you going to open a museum of your looks?
In the future. I buy them. Mm. So when we are working together as a team and I tag you because I want us to grow together. Mm. And when I see or when I feel a little drop of entitlement, oh no. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
Because before this dress started, I've already worked on with my designer, which was Yuli Kumsin.
Yeah.
And this dress could never, it's a project because it's not a dress that has been sewn.
Yeah.
You have to actually.
I heard you put it in hot water. Then you have to mold it on the bodies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So first of all, we need to put it in practice. So we brought it to Ghana. We first did the first practical, how practical it is, myself and Yuli. And we actually videoed it and we sent it to you. So you were aware
of what
there was Yoli.
Mm.
Now we get to Lagos. I fly you in. I pay you. I tag you. I tag Yoli. And you're asking me, why did I tag Yoli, my Ghanaian designer? Like, how the audacity.
I feel like you've gotten to a point where because of the weight your name carries, mm-hmm. people, because I always say attention is currency right now. Mm-hmm. So people always want to, like, you know, throw a name in there into something just so that their name goes out there. Because at the end of it all, now everybody's like, okay, we know this girl, I think.
Yeah, but then the things that you can ask Jadon or anybody on my team, I like to carry people along. Mm. And it's something I think I can't take. I can't do anything about it. You see how we're supposed to work. I was never going to disappoint, even if something had come up. You see, I respect time. I respect people because I've traveled the world.
She was on time, guys.
and I understand how things work. Mm. I don't look down on anyone. So if I'm working with you, whether you are an established designer, whether you are not, because guess what? I can say proudly, like in Ghana here, I am the only one who have worked with all the international designers. All the international, I mean, like where I buy my dresses from,
right.
They're international designers, right. Not because I do not regard my local designers.
No, but you do work with them.
I do work with them. But then I am, if not, any red carpet that I go, Gaurav Gupta, who introduced Gaurav Gupta, who introduced
Carlos Santiago,
who introduced Meta Bender, the dress that I wore, that's been Stosh Dipato, who introduced...
I'm so glad you mentioned the name yourself because I don't know how to mention it.
Because like we talk, we work together and we are like family. How come with them there's never be any controversy? That's how professional they are. They understand it's a project. They will do their part and another person will do their part. So if I tag anybody on their project, they are not worried. Mm. But you see some of us, some Africans, the entitlement. When the glory is so big, they feel they should be the only one who should be acknowledged. Mm. But what I do is a project.
Mm.
Because we start from a sketch, then we start from 3D. So am I going to tag the person who even put the idea together?
Yeah.
Am I also going to tag the person who also worked on the 3D? Am I also going to tag the person who actually brought all the 3Ds together and help us to put it together? So it's a project. It's a collaboration effort. Mm. So if you're working with me and you do not appreciate or you do not respect a teamwork, you can't work with me.
Mm.
You can't work with me.
How much lead time do you need for stuff? And I ask this because when I watched Abbas's interviews and stuff, you reached out to him months prior for the look. And even, you know, just the Ghana Movie Awards, I'm thinking to myself, when did you do this dress?
That was spontaneous. That was nothing. With the Ghana Movie Awards, that was spontaneous. That had nothing to do with me. I called Abbas. I was like, oh, Fred just gave me a call and I just have 2 weeks, which I've never done that.
So he did that in 2 weeks?
Yes. And I was like, what do you have in plan for me? And he was like, okay, Nana, let me think about something. You understand? Mm. Then I need to have a backup plan. So I had the pants there.
The second look?
The second look. And I truly wanted to wear the second look because I was being honored. Mm. And I didn't want to wear a gown. I just wanted to own the space as the boss. That's,
you know, a pantsuit is always a power. Yeah.
Thank you. So I really, to be honest, I really wanted to wear the suit. Mm. Then Abbas, we had actually two looks. So the whole look was three. And the other look couldn't get to me in time.
Is it a black and white one?
You.
No. Yes. You know, when Abbas posted the making of the dress, I saw the black and white one.
Yeah, so we shot it.
Yeah.
But then it wasn't delivered on time, so we didn't post it. It's amazing. So I'm actually saving it for another event.
Yeah, you have to.
Yes.
So Nana, you know what? Everybody always focuses on your AMVCA looks.
Yes.
But I went onto your Instagram and there are some of these looks that I really wanted to talk about.
Okay.
So you can see over there, this look. Who made this?
Oh my God. Forgive me. I know her as Ikea. She's a US-based
designer.
Mm. She's a clothing brand. And actually, I was influencing this dress for her. Mm. She's such a lovely lady. When you go on her page, if you can help me with the name.
Yeah, we'll find it and put it in production.
She has such an amazing piece. I even have different pieces she sent to me this Christmas. Yeah. And I haven't worn them yet. Like, She's such amazing. I really like
the structure of it. And you know the funny thing? I was going to ask you, your production for your looks is always so interesting because all the pots there are white. You're wearing white. And then the beige wall is like you are a flower in bloom because you're the only one that is blue. Your head, you know what I mean? That's what it was giving.
Listen, when you have creators like Jaden, like my personal Kwejo here, you see, I have Gen Zs in my team.
Jaden
like,
is not Gen Z. Please.
Papa.
Jaden is not Gen Z.
Papa.
Let's not do that.
Papa. You're lying.
He's not Gen Z. He's not Gen Z.
So not me. Do you know what he tells me all the time? I'm a Gen Z.
No, please.
He makes me feel so old.
He's not.
Oh my God. He makes me feel so old.
Actually, Nana, I just remember before.
Kwejo, so you're the Gen Z, right? Look at you, Papa.
Let him bring his Ghana car. Before we move on, I just wanted to find out. The last time we saw you at the TGMA red carpet was, I think, was it the red dress with the gold pieces?
Yes, made by Yatel.
Yatel. Thanks for remembering.
Yes.
Are you done with the TGMA red carpet? Because Jaden was on an interview saying that you have outgrown the TGMA red carpet.
I think from that, I think what he meant was production-wise.
Mm.
I think what he meant, you know, people would want to understand what they want to understand.
Mm.
You understand? But if the production-wise is good, Jaden would be there. Funny enough, every invitation I get, it comes through Jaden.
Mm.
And he's the one who tells me the one. Like, it in every year, we have a review as in
so he decides which one you go to?
Yes, he does. You know, that's what I'm saying, that, you know, he's worked with one of the best, I mean, media houses, I mean, production houses, which is Glitz.
Yes.
And with the experience that he's gaps, I mean, when he tells me something, I truly respect it, not because I'm older than him, but because of the experience he has. You understand? Mm. He will tell you, Nana, out of this show,
go
we are
this
doing
one.
This. Okay. You understand? So when, I mean, I don't want to mention it. When you don't see me on your show, it's Jaden. You understand? Because he's the one always receiving the phone calls.
I see.
It's just like when I came from Lagos, Jaden was like, "You are coming to this podcast."
Podcast, yeah.
I've never watched it. He actually sent it to me. He was like, "Nana, so many people have reached out to me, but this is the first podcast you're going to do. If you ever gonna be on any podcast, this is the first podcast, and this is actually my first podcast, and I'm shocked."
Clack it.
And I'm shocked. It's like, Jaden, you did me bad.
Oh, come on.
Because.
But you're enjoying it.
I am.
How do you take critiques of your looks? And I'm asking because when you wore that dress, Charlie said he didn't like it. And he said you have blocked him. I don't know if you are still blocked him.
You know, you see, this is my problem with Charlie. And I think he needs to be very serious with what he does. He's very fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I think the clickbait is way getting into his intellectual aspect of actually judging. And I think he's offending people and he's attacking people because there's nowhere on any fashion critic that will actually take a dress from a phone and use it to critique the dress. That's a disservice to the designer.
Mm.
And that's a big shame on you as a critic, as a fashion critic. Why do you think we go through to do production,
photo shoots? Yeah.
The reason is that we want you to see the craftsmanship that has been into the dress. You understand? Mm. So let's say somebody just take their phone and photograph me. And you come on my page and you've seen the professional
photographs that you've taken.
You've seen the videos. You've seen the details. Why would you boycott all of that and actually take the one that somebody actually used their phones to take and actually critique the dress? And for me, it was so low below the belt.
Mm. So that was the issue with it.
And the way he actually criticize people, I think he attacks people. Like recently about the VGMs, how can you say Asantwayiniti di ding ding? No, you are attacking his personality.
Mm.
Your business is to talk about how she's looking.
Mm.
And I think these TikTokers are young. They are growing. You should see my throwback pictures. You understand?
Will you share them with us?
And I think as a critic, you need to guide them. That is what KK did for me. Mm. You need to guide them. You need to encourage them. That's what Oscar did. Oscar will never tell you, Utiaye didin din, we full aye kesie. Look at what Hajia for real is wearing. It's like police. Why would you want to say all this? Why won't you encourage the person? Because you know she's in the position to afford it. I think maybe what she wore was good. And by the way, what Ajawa wasn't a fair. I started, that wasn't a fair.
What was it?
It wasn't a fair. It's a fabric.
Oh, okay.
And I started her because she's a musician. You see, that's the thing. When I am going to VGMAs, I can wear this. Because it's the VGMAs.
Yeah.
You saw the difference between the VGMAs and the Ghana Movie Awards.
I feel like
awards.
We need to attack it more like BET, you know,
when you're talking about VGMAs, you compare it to the AFRIMAs.
Mm.
And when you see what happens at the AFRIMAs Red Carpet, it's the same thing happening at the VGMAs. And the attack on VGMAs is so wrong. Like I said, we have Kubolo, right?
One Love.
And he doesn't wear shoes.
Yeah.
So when he comes on the red carpet, are you going to say he's bad dressed? And when I come and I'm wearing gown, are you going to say I'm the best dressed? No, that is his niche. So when you go to musical grounds and when you're actually criticizing people how they look, for me, it's about the genres and how they put it together.
Mm.
For me, it should be how they put it together. It shouldn't be about how the gown culture is being forced so much onto the younger generation.
But that's
yesterday,
because we don't have
yesterday I wore suits at the Ghana Movie Awards.
Mm.
And look at how I looked.
Yeah.
You see, if you can even wear a mini dress or a midi dress, how structured, how beautiful it looks on you, and it will still pass for looking good
on the
red carpet. I think we're just forcing it has to be a gown, it has to be dragging, it has to be ball. Look at how restricted Asantewaa was. If I was styling Asantewaa, I'd just look at her age because she's probably in her 20s. I would want her to look fun, I want her to look girly. Look at what Chris Brown, look at what Justin Bieber, look at what Arasta and Tyra, look at what they wear to the BGMs. To the Grammys.
Okay.
Look at what they wear to the Grammys. They don't wear all these ball gowns and nobody's telling them that they are well dressed. Do you get what I'm saying? One of the movies where you see gowns are the
Emmys, the Golden Globes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The Oscars. And the Ghana Movie Awards.
Yeah.
And then the AMVCA that we are turning into Met Gala.
We're turning into the Met Gala.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So sometimes it tells you that the fashion critique, they don't even know how to even compare these two platforms together. Because these are two different acts. Two different talents, and the way they dress is two different. Movie Awards is glamour.
Yeah.
And then music is funky. It could be anything.
It's more personality driven,
I think,
based on what you're saying.
Thank you.
I think we do see it when we look at like the global.
So with me
carpets.
And Jay, and with me and Charlie, it's nothing personal. I just feel he should stop attacking individuals when he's actually criticizing what they're wearing. It should just be based on what they're wearing, and he should be a bit lenient, because you see, the industry is not paying anybody to be on the red carpet. These influencers are actually paying for everything. So it should rather be encouraging, so that next time, if they have spent 2,000 Ghana, maybe Charlie said, I was looking good. So this time, let me try better and spend 5,000. Grow with them. You understand? When you get somebody like myself, go hard as you want to, because experience should teach me better.
Right.
But you should know when you're dealing with the influencers, these are young talent who are now experiencing red carpet. Your choice of words is very important. You can condemn them. And I think he should actually take these things very serious. You understand?
Mm.
He knows where it's coming from. It's coming from a place of love. What he did to me was disrespectful. It was out of context because I had a professional picture. I had a professional video. He saw me at the event. So he had every right to use any of that picture to critique what I was wearing. You understand?
Right.
So,
so it's poorly represented.
Yes.
Okay. So this next look, I love it because I recognize this headpiece. Was it Haiti?
Yeah, it was Haiti.
Yeah. You repurposed it from the 3D look.
Yes.
Now, this... you know, it's a lot going on, but then it's still structured and shows of your shape. Do you remember who this one is by?
This is a Nigerian designer. His name was
put it in post. The inspiration for this look.
Okay, so this, I saw it on the runway and I just called him. He's such a good friend. I said, I call him SD. I want this dress. He was like, Nana, whatever you want, I'll send it to you. Yeah. Then he just sent it to me. I saw it on the runway. I saw it on the Lagos Fashion Week. Oh, yeah. I think Jaden was there and he sent me this look. Yeah. I was like, Nana, you love this. I was like, I really
like it. And I was going to ask you, when you're thinking about your looks, mm-hmm. at which points does hair come through? Because one thing, your hairstyle can make or break a look. And I feel you rarely break a look with your hair. And so, for example, with this one, even deciding to put this back on, at which point do you start to consider your hair?
It depends on the look we're going for.
Okay.
It's always the look. You see, sometimes we want to do soft. When you're doing soft, obviously you need a glam hair to put the look together. Mm. Sometimes we want to go avant-garde. With avant-garde, we don't even think about hair. With avant-garde, usually want everything sleek back. Okay. So that you can actually see my features. Mm. And sometimes I have amazing, insane accessories. Out of the world accessories. It could be hat, it could be sunglasses, it could be purse that you've never seen before. Mm. Yes, and sometimes we just want to do haute couture. So it all depends the mood or whatever we've decided to work on. Yes. So okay. Yeah.
All right. Mm. So let me tell you, this is the best look.
You?
Out of all the things that I picked.
Yeah.
Is it two pieces or is one?
This is Christy Brown.
Oh, so is this a dress or a skirt on top?
It's two piece.
The skirt is the piece de resistance.
Yes, I was going for an interview and I just had to dash into the shop. And the personal assistant there was so good. Right. And then she just was like, Nana, this skirt, you do magic to it. And then gave me the bodycon top.
And the bag?
I had to carve it. I called my carpenter. Jaden did that.
No, it's so it's non-functional. You can't use it, but it is.
But I just wanted some. You know, I always want something to stand out for my look. Yeah. I want to walk into the room and command attention.
It's like when you, for the cathedral dress, you were holding a rosary. I was gagging like this.
Yes, it was a last minute thing. You know? So yes.
And I love it. The earrings also really, the green matches. Yeah.
So this is one of the softest look we do. So here you can see the hair.
Yeah.
You see everything comes in play. The hair.
I really love it.
The earrings, the shoes. So we are not trying to do anything crazy. I'm just trying to be a girl.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Next one. Yes.
Okay.
I think, you know, this pixie really fits you.
Yes.
Every time you do a pixie, I think you did it for the Ghana Movie Awards as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
The reason is that, like you all say, I have that bone structure face. Yeah. So usually that's the time I get to show it. So
the dress looks like a percent. You know the percent signal.
Yes, but it is
so nice.
Yes, yes.
Which brings me to this question. I see a lot of people always ask you, do you plan on sitting down in these looks?
So that's the thing. I don't know if they actually read or watch what is happening at the Grammys or at the Oscars. When you look at, it starts from Lady Gaga, it starts from even Jennifer Lopez, even Kim. Have you seen their process video?
Yeah.
Kim actually needs to even lose weight to wear a dress.
Yeah.
And Kim will tell you, comfortability doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Look at the first time she was a plus one to Kanye West, the dress that she wore to the Met, where everywhere was covered. She literally couldn't see.
Yeah.
So Kanye West
Kanye had to hold her up the stairs. Yeah.
You understand? If you want to be different, you can't be like everybody else. You understand? And that is what people need to understand. What I've been able to do, if I wanted to be like everybody else, I wouldn't be sitting
You wouldn't stand
here.
Out, yeah.
Yes.
Beyonce said it, pretty hairs. This is one of my this is Santiago, right?
And this is one of the most expensive production we've done.
You know, we love it.
This is one of the most, if I tell you how much we spent.
You should tell
just
us.
Just to even build the glass house, transport it to the restaurant. That restaurant is one of the beautiful restaurants in Lagos.
You know, I always thought that it was there and you guys just went to stand
no,
in
no,
it.
No, no, no,
you
no, no.
You built
no, no.
it?
Yes. I'll send you behind the scenes because I still have it. Wow. We actually built this. So it was, we're supposed to carry this to the red carpet. But in the process, it broke.
It broke.
It broke after the photo shoot.
Oh my God.
Yes, African Road.
Yeah.
African Road and also
Oh my God. Lagos photos.
So this was going to be another look. I was just going to be like a mannequin.
And standing it.
On the red carpet.
Yeah.
But in the process, it broke. Yeah.
No, this is so one they of couldn't my favorite see the, pieces.
So I love it. So they couldn't see the vision.
Yeah.
With this dress, they couldn't see the vision. But then we saw it, but...
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it. It's my next one. You know, when I saw Cardi wearing this like a year or two after. I said,
and that is how much Guara loves me. He asked me, Nana, who are you? Because after I wore this dress, there was Cardi, there was Beyonce, and then all of them. Even Leon Moda, after I wore his piece.
Yeah.
Now he's more like a bridal designer.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people do that. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So for the last one, I wanted to play a game with you. I wanted you to be your own fashion critic. Last slide. One has to go. Can you see it? So the first one, you have this black and white number.
Yes.
And then the middle one is the purple. And then the last one is this mini skirt.
I think the skirt will go.
Really?
No, the reason why is that I wanted to photograph this skirt with a different concept, but at that time, I didn't have a lot of time to do it. And I'm actually going to do it, and you understand what I'm talking about. See, everything I do, we have a concept, you understand? And at that day, where I was time, I think the background didn't complement the dress. This dress is lovely. It was supposed to be a party dress. So I think the yellow swallowed the glitter in the skirt.
So it's not a top end skirt. It's a two piece. Okay.
But then the skirt is amazing.
Yeah.
So the reason why I would want it to go, because I think the location didn't favor the dress. So the skirt would go, not because it's not a good dress, but because where it was shot. Yes.
So, you know, I showed it to two of my friends and I was like, if you had to let one go, and they all picked the black and white.
I love that dress.
Mm-hmm. They felt like
you should see that pants.
The leather, because they felt like if the leather was in the pants, then they would pick it.
You should see this pants. It was the same designer that made me that two piece with the headpiece.
Oh, okay, yes. The Nigerian designer.
Yeah, the
Nigerian
designer. This dress is so fun. It's so girly and it's so comfortable. It's one of the most comfortable dress that I have.
Yes.
And I love the way it makes me feel. Like when I wear it, it gives me some sass.
So my favorite,
I really love it.
My favorite is the monochrome purple.
Okay.
Because that raffia bag, I really love it. And I remember, I don't know, I think you went to somebody's birthday party.
Yes.
And I saw the video. Fella,
yes.
Yeah, the video was so nice.
Fella shop opening. This is a Hanifa's dress.
Okay.
Yes, I kind of love it too.
Yeah.
Yes, she personally sent it to me. Thank you, girl. Yes.
So my last two questions, the next one is, you've said that you are going to create the Fashion Nova of Africa.
Yes.
On the Lady Circle show.
Yes.
How far along are we with that? What's the progress?
You know, to even think about something like that is definitely capital intensive. Like I've been to China like 3-4 times already and we are still in the process. Yes, so I'm still working on it because the thing is that it's just like if you say Fashion Nova of Africa, the quality is good and it's affordable.
Affordable, yeah.
So that is what I'm actually... That's the standard I'm trying to...
Affordability is going to be the...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So that is what I'm trying... Yes. Thank you. Thank you. So just that.
Okay.
Just that.
Okay.
So
my last question, Nana. You've established in Ghana. You've conquered AMVCA. What is the next red carpet that you're going to conquer?
So you see, that's the thing. I think people really don't understand my direction, where I want to go. It's not even about conquering. It's about using this platform to actually telling the world that African fashion has come of age. And AMBC have all that visibility where the world is watching to be able to sell African designers, to be able to market African creatives. So it's not even about conquering, or it's not even about feeling like, okay, I'm better than someone. It's paving way for African creative. It's if it has to be me and my friends, Choma or Sas, to be the pioneers to do it, why not? Because we have amazing designers here. Christy Brown, we have Diaba Sewa, we have so many Yatel, we have Shape by Nelson. So if it has to be me, Osas, Jackie, Yvonne Nelson, for us to actually also showcase the creatives that we have in Africa, that if we go to Paris Fashion Week, we are going to watch Balenciaga, we're going to watch. Wouldn't it be nice to see Shape by Nelson actually also showcasing at Paris Fashion Week? So for me, that is it. It's not about conquering. It's about using this platform to actually tell the world African fashion has come of age.
Yes. You know, somebody could say that you could go to Fashion Week, but all your pieces would be from, you know, African fashion designers. And so you're going on those shows in front row, but then you're glammed in African fashion.
Yeah, but the thing is that when you're going on Fashion Week, it's a bit dicey because on that day, there's about three or four designers showing. So the fact that you might not get that mileage or that concentration is higher. Because there might be Gucci, you could be showing, let's say, Diaba Sewa was showing, there's Gucci showing, there's Balenciaga showing, and then everybody goes to Balenciaga. What happens?
But what if you go to Balenciaga wearing Diaba Sewa? Don't you think you're also going to put, you know, African fashion?
But I think then Balenciaga too wouldn't also respect that, because when he calls you,
you have to show up in this.
He's going to style you. Let's say Balenciaga invites you to come to his show on the front row, you're wearing Diaba Sewa. you understand?
Okay, yes, I didn't know that's how it works.
Yes, I would rather wear Balenciaga in his show and then maybe change to go out to meet the paparazzi in Diaba Sewa.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
That makes sense. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, I really enjoyed this conversation with you, Nana. I'm so glad that we were able to make it. You don't want to go?
Charlie, give me pillow. I have to sleep. We're sleeping here today.
What is your final word to Ghana? You know, I always ask people this to end. What do you want Ghanaians to understand about you? And some people say, I don't want them to understand me at all.
Well, I don't want them to understand me at all. Well, because it's my journey. It's my story that I'm trying to tell. But I want Ghanaians to know, or to not to think I'm competing with anybody. It's not a competition. It's not like Nana wants to be the best. From whatever they've learned today, it should tell them that this girl has really thrive. I have tried literally everything, from being a beauty queen, being a dancer, and being a model. I didn't get the chance I wanted. And finally, God said, you know what? I'm going to reward you. And this is what I'm going to do for you. And it's fashion. So this is my time. I feel people should be happy for me, because when I see Mac Brown, I'm not even trying to. When I see Mac Brown, I call him Mac, because I give her that respect. When I see Jackie is a friend, but I call her Lady J because of the impact that she's had in the movie industry. I don't want my colleagues to see me on the red carpet and feel, oh, it's always competition. No, it's about us. Together, we are going to tell a beautiful story. Together, we are going to make this industry bigger. I'm not trying to look like, oh, okay, she always wants to come and outshine us, because that's the vibe sometimes I get. Do you understand? That's the reason why I don't like to appear on any red carpet where I don't get good vibes. You get what I'm saying? I want everybody to know we are in this together. A win for Ghana. A win is for all of us. When I'm on Shade Room, they don't say Nanekiado. Do you see what they put there?
Ghana.
They don't even mention my name. We don't put the Ghana flag.
Yeah.
So a win for Nanekiado is a win for all of us.
Yeah.
I think we should all rally behind whatever I'm trying to do. And let's see as this is what is working for her. and let's give her all the support. And when it's your time, I'll equally gladly do that. Just like you invited me here today.
Thank you for coming. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I had a great time with you.
Me too.
I hope people now see your journey and they give you more respect.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, guys, that's our show. Thank you for watching. And if you haven't subscribed, I don't know what you're doing. Subscribe, leave a comment, engage, and let everybody know that Nani Care Story is more. So they should go and check out this episode.
Be say I dey complain, loving the way you dey maintain. You steady scatter my defense. Okay, okay, girl I love what I'm feeling, love what I see. Lucky, lucky, you top of the line, now my baby come close to me. Your love just dey prepare me, your beauty is sending me, baby. I am so captivated. That's what I'm needing. The day. What I feel. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. Laba-laba for my belly.
My African queen.
Then over then, I'm ready, belly. Okay, okay. Girl, I love what I'm feeling, love what I see. Lucky, lucky. You top of the line, oh my baby, come close to me. Your love just did prepare me. Your beauty is sending me. I am so captivated.
This has been a Gold Coast Report production.